I'm glad to be back. Not 2 months, 41 days only. Thank you so much. Surah Al-A'raf, page 173. Surah Al-A'raf, page 173. And ayah number 171. Ayah number 171, page 173. Surah Al-A'raf. I remember you in my dua and ziyarah in Medina al-Munawwara, Mecca, Najaf, Karbala, Mashhad, Qom, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you this opportunity to go and visit inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ ظُلَّةٌ وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ ظُلَّةٌ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ خذوا ما آتيناكم بقوة واذكروا ما فيه لعلكم تتقون. وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم؟ قالوا بلى. قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. أو تقولوا إنما أشرك آباؤنا من قبل وكنا ذرية من بعدهم أفتهلكنا بما فعل المبطلون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Going back to the stories of Bani Israel, which has been scattered through the Holy Quran in different chapters, and some of these stories have been repeated twice, three times, four times, for an important reason. Although the gap between us and Bani Israel, the children of Israel, is almost 3,500 years. 3,500 years, the gap between us and Moses and his community. But it is important that we learn about their life and their character and their relationship with their prophet or their prophets and messengers, in particular Musa alayhi salam. Because the Prophet, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned to his community, لَتَحْذَوَنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. You're going to move in the footsteps of the communities who were before you. Meaning, You're going to do exactly the same as they did. You're going to do exactly what they did before you. So here Quran, he wants us to understand and to learn from the stories of Bani Israel. So we don't repeat the same mistake. We don't do the same things that they did to their prophets. One of the striking things when we read the Quran about Bani Israel in particular is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them, He tested them with many miracles, with many unusual events. And the reason for these miracles that came one after the other is for them to learn and to believe and to accept the message of Musa alayhi salam and the message of the Torah. Because they were reluctant to accept the Torah. Very reluctant. They were rebellious. Bani Israel, in their character, and embedded in their character, rebellion is embedded in their character. They used to reject everything Musa alayhi salam would bring to them. And they would argue with him. They would not accept it from him. Although they acknowledge he's the messenger of God. They know what he says is from God, not from himself. He is conveying the message of God. But it was their character. Their character was based on rebellion. Rebellion and inad, stubbornness. So they would argue with him. And they really gave him very, very tough time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says to the Muslims, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, do not do what Bani Israel did to their Prophet, to Musa. Musa alayhi salam said to his community, لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. O my community, why do you harass me? Why do you harass me? Why do you disobey me? Why do you irritate me? تُؤْذُونَنِي, from إِذَا, irritation. When you harass someone, this is إِذَا, when you hurt someone. Why do you hurt me? While you know very well I am the messenger of God. I am conveying the message of God to you. لِمَذُ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Islam wanted us to know what would happen to people who disobey their leaders, their prophets and messengers. Islam wanted the companions of the Prophet, the Muslims, who will come many generations after Bani Israel, to see firsthand, to see what will happen to them if they disobey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was very imperative for the Muslims to read the stories of Bani Israel. One of the miracles that took place during the time of Moses, وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ. نَتَق means when something is separated. We made the mountain, separate. A huge boulder of the mountain was separated as a miracle. God wanted to see them, very clear physical sign. Very clear physical sign. Because some people, they think with their eyes, not their minds. Some people don't think with their minds. They think with their eyes. So if you show them some physical, tangible, physical evidence, they would accept. But if you speak logic to them, they don't accept. So Allah said, it's okay. Do you want to see with your eyes? This is a proof. This is a proof of a miracle performed by your leader, by Musa. So God separated part of that. This is where? In the desert of Sinai. There are mountains. Today, if you fly over Sinai Desert, you see many mountains. One of them is the mountain that Musa alayhi salam went there and received the message, the Torah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he came back carrying the Torah with him, he had just received the Torah, the revelation. He came to his community and he said, this is the revelation from God. These are the commandments of God. I want you to listen to them, respect them. They disagreed with him. They started questioning him and doubting him, doubting his authenticity. So here Allah wanted Bani Israel to see something tangible, physical, so they know that Musa is not lying to them. Musa is a truthful. So God made part of the mountain, huge mountain, to be separated, and it moved above their head. It became like a shade above their head. Listen to the Quran. وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلِ. In some translations, نَتَقْنَا, they translate this term into shaking. We shook the mountain. It was not shaking, it was separation of the mountain, part of it. Huge part of the mountain was separated and moved and became like a canopy, like a tent or a shade above their head. وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ ظُلَّةٌ. It became as if it had been a canopy. ظُلَّةٌ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ. They were so terrified. Huge part of the mountain is moving. Today if you see some avalanche, what will happen to you? You run away, of course. If you see some rocks coming down off the mountain, you run away. These were not small rocks. This was a huge piece of the mountain moving above their head. Of course they were terrified. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ. They thought that it was going to fall on them. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ. We sent them this sign, so they take us serious. They take Musa serious. They know Musa has extraordinary power. He's the messenger of God. He's the messenger of God. My friends, you know, sometimes, especially you mothers and fathers, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have to intimidate. In order for you to teach, to discipline, you have to intimidate. You have to threaten. Sometimes, not all the times, sometimes intimidation is important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used intimidation with some communities, among them Bani Israel. Because when they kept rejecting, God said, okay, I have to be serious with you this time. I have to show you something that when you see it, you start respecting and you start disciplining yourself. So this is part of why God made this mountain separate from its original base and came and became a shadow above the heads of Bani Israel in the desert. After that, now some people would ask, especially the young generation, is this possible? Mountain? Are you serious? Or this is a, you know, Hollywood movie? Nowadays, human beings, they can do things like that. They can do things like that. Nowadays, if you would say 200 years, 150 years ago, if you would come to the people anywhere and tell them, listen, there will be a huge body flying above your head, carrying 400 people. You know the maximum takeoff weight of an airplane at the time of takeoff? How much is that? Can you guess? Huh? 400,000 kilos. 400,000. 400 tons. That's the takeoff weight of an airplane. I just landed at LAX and I saw the Airbus 380. 380 super jumbo jet that carries 800 passengers. 800 passengers for 17 hours. For 17 hours, 800 passengers with their luggage, including wine and alcohol and vodka, flying in the air. This is almost a miracle. This is a miracle. If you would say this to people 150 years, even 100 years ago, they would make fun of you. They would make fun of you. Today, humans are able to dig tunnels underneath the oceans for hundreds of kilometers. Hundreds of kilometers. Tunnels underneath the oceans. They dig tunnels underneath huge mountains for hundreds of kilometers. This is also a miracle. So yes, if man can do this, then the creator of man definitely is able to do that. Is able to do that as a miracle. Yes, is able to do that. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ Get hold. Hold firmly of what we have given you, the Torah. مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ here means the revelation, the Torah. بِقُوَّةٍ Take it serious. Because when Musa brought the Torah to them, they didn't take him serious. They didn't take him serious. They were sarcastic about him. When he said, these are the revelation of God, I just received that from God, they didn't take him serious. Allah said, I will teach you a lesson and I'll make you take Musa, your leader, serious. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ Hold fast. Hold firmly to the teachings of the Torah. Religion, my friends, is to be taken seriously. Some people are religious, but they are not serious about religion. They are religious when it suits them. If it suits them, if it is easy for them, if they like it, they practice it. But if sometimes religion is difficult for them, if sometimes they come across something that they like to do, but religion says, no, this is not good for you. Don't do that. They are not going to take religion serious in this case. They are going to sidetrack religion and do what they want to do. But this is not religion. Religion, either you take religion serious, you abide by the rules of religion, the commandments of religion, when God says, don't do this, period, you don't do that. We should not argue with God. We should not become like Bani Israel, argumentative. Every time Moses comes with something, they sit and argue with him. We should not do that. We should learn that whatever God says do, it means this is good for us, even if we don't understand it. Sometimes we are like children. Some children, when their parents ask them to do something, they say, no, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't make sense to me. Yes, it does not make sense to him now, at the age of 9, at the age of 10. But at the age of 18, it is going to make sense to him. So they should trust their parents. They should trust their parents. They should not argue with their parents. We should not argue with Islam. We should not argue with the Quran. We should not say, this does not make sense to me. This is outdated. This goes back to 1400 years ago. This is not for Orange County. This is not for America. This is not for the 21st century. This is not right. We have to take religion serious. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ Either we take religion serious, we enjoy religion and we benefit. and we're going to have a peaceful life. Or if we don't take religion serious, one day we practice, the other day we don't practice, this halal, this haram we practice, that haram we may not practice, up to us, we are not going to enjoy life. Neither are we going to enjoy religion. Religion is a whole package. Either you take it all or you leave it all. Today we are asked, why Muslims are unhappy? Why Muslims, they have problems in their societies? Why Muslims, they have divorce rate? Why Muslims, they have conflicts and disagreements? You know why? Because Muslims are not practicing Islam. Muslims practice 50% of Islam, 30% of Islam, 10% of Islam. Not 100%. It's like the medicine. I go to the doctor and he prescribes medicine for me and I use, he says, you have to take this, let's say, 3 times a day. I take it 1 time a day. It would not help. It would not help. I have to follow the doctor. Or he gives me 2 types of medicine. I like one of them and I dislike the other. So I use only one and I drop the other. I would not get cured. I have to take the whole medicine. Islam is a medicine. Quran is a medicine. But you have to use the whole medicine. The whole medicine. Allah says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. You accept part of the book and you reject the other part? That does not work. That does not work. Those who practice Islam 50% as if they have not practiced Islam at all. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As an example of that Islam is a whole package. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, always salat and zakat are together. They work together. Always. Whenever you read about salat in the Quran, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. So if some people, they only pray and they don't pay zakat, their prayers are not going to be effective. And if people only pay zakat but they don't perform salat, their zakat is not going to be effective. Because salat and zakat, they work hand in hand. Do you understand now why millions of people, they pray 5 daily prayers. They don't miss their prayers. But the prayers is not working because they don't pay zakat. So the prayers becomes dysfunctional. Salat is only integrated and completed and gives its fruits when we pay the zakat. Whether the zakat is $1 or $1 million, doesn't matter. It's a commitment. Allah says when you pray, you have to pay too. You pray to me, you pay for the people. Prayers is a relationship between you and me here, vertical. Zakat is a horizontal relationship between you and your community, your society, the poor ones, the needy ones. Only this relationship does not work. This relationship, the vertical relationship, has to be integrated with the horizontal relationship. With relationship with the society, with the people. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيَأْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. But if we choose one and we drop the others, as if we have not done anything. Zero. Millions of people, they pray. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah says, prayers is a medicine. It would forbid you from fahsha, shameful acts, and munkar, evil acts. But millions of people, they pray 5 times a day and they practice fahsha and they practice munkar every single day. After the salat and before the salat. And maybe during the salat too. During the salat. Why? Because salat alone does not work. Salat is only one part. Just like the medicine, the example I give about medicine. It's only one part. خُذُوا, Allah says to Bani Israel, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ Oh, children of Israel, if you want to prosper us, if you want to prosper, if you want to be strong, if you want your community, your children to be healthy, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ Practice religion seriously. Take religion serious. Take religion serious. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ And always remember what we have told you in the Torah. Always remember. We have to remember what is in this book. If we are asked, if someone asks me, what is in your book? Tell me. Your book has 114 chapters, more than 6,000 ayah in your book. What is in it? I should know, I should remember. Should remember. This is my blueprint. This is a private letter from God to me. I have to read it, I have to understand it, and I have to practice it. This is the manual. This is the roadmap. If I don't know about the roadmap, I will be a failure in my society, in my family, in my community, in my economy, in my relationships. I will be a failure. وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ Once you remember and you practice, you may prosper. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ If you practice, if you choose to practice. I just came back today from a trip to 10 countries. 5 of them Muslim countries, and the other 5 non-Muslim countries. And I am sorry to say, I am very sorry to say, that in non-Muslim countries I had more peace of mind than Muslim countries. I have to admit this. Because we the Muslims, we pray, but we don't put the values of the prayers into practice. We fast, but we don't learn anything from fasting. This is exactly what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. كم من قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السهر والتعب. How many people they pray but they gain nothing but exhaustion and tiredness. They don't get thawab. وكم من صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع والعطش. And how many people they fast, but they gain nothing out of fasting but hunger and thirst. This is exactly what we do, the Muslims. We don't learn lessons. Muslim countries, Muslim societies are the most disorganized societies. Most disorganized societies on earth. On earth. It breaks my heart when I go to a Muslim country and I go to a non-Muslim and I compare them. I see the non-Muslims are practicing Islam. And the Muslims are not practicing their religion. The first basic thing Islam says about yourself, your house, your community, your neighborhood, nadafa. An-nadafatul iman. An-nadafatul iman. Cleanliness is faith. Cleanliness is belief in God. You go to Muslim countries, it's sickening. Sickening, believe me. Sickening. The trash is everywhere. How do you live healthy? How do you live about your life if you live within a trash, piles of trash, and your religion always says 5 times a day, wudu, clean yourself, shower, you know, take care of yourself, your room, your house, your surrounding. Islam for us is mechanical. Mechanical, believe me, not spiritual. Mechanical. Yes, ruku', sujood, qiyam, qu'ud. But at the end of the day, you gain nothing. As the Prophet said, إِلَّا الْسَهَرُ وَالتَّعَبُ Exhaustion and tiredness. the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is the most beautiful discipline. It should be. It should be when you are hungry and you have food and you have a drink and you don't touch it. You have to grow stronger and stronger. But Muslims during Ramadan, they become weaker and weaker and weaker. During the month of Ramadan. We have to review our life. Where do we stand? There is nothing wrong with Islam. Islam is a good religion. Wrong with us, we who practice Islam. Why? Because here, the Quran says, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ. Hold firmly to what we have given you. We don't hold firmly. We don't. We don't care. When it comes to, we care about everything in life, our relationships, our friends, our shopping, our food, our, but when it comes to religion, it's the last thing we care about. We don't care about it. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى والإيمان يا أرحم الراحمين. For those who are sick and they asked us to pray for them, let's raise our hands. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية. On your behalf also we give condolences to our dear brother Haj Muhammad Ghiathi for the passing away of his uncle, and alhamdulillah he was lucky enough to be buried in the land of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, in the city of Najaf al-Ashraf in Wadi al-Salam. For his soul and for the arwah of Mu'mineen and Mu'minat, thawab al-Fatiha ma'as-salat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Amen.